Blog Talk Radio.
Carry the weight of my brain like a genius, knowing I'm sowing seeds, let's see whose thumb is the greenest. If I said it, I mean it, I did it because I need it. Eat, sleep it, and bleed it, write it down and then read it. Add force to the demons, your trash talk, delete it. I blast off, then lay them out like a temper beat. It gets black thought, for certain I'm a win eventually. This unsung, underrated, underappreciated. The one them under-receivers had underestimated. Finally, graduated, I'm one of the most hated. Something that's so basic, nobody going.
Rock, rock.
rock on. Sex machine, gotta rock, rock on. When the board tab, gotta rock, rock on. EC the rock, need the rock, rock on. And the task force need the rock, rock on. And Destro need the rock, rock on. And the Red Bull need the rock, rock on. DJ Mark need the rock, rock on. Rock the block, need the rock, rock on. 100X need the rock, rock on. Graham Squad need the rock, rock on. BSB need the rock, rock on. And the Bobby Dance need the rock, rock on. And B-Force need the rock, rock on. And Larry Ladd need the rock, rock on. And LaVie need the rock, rock on. Essential Elements need the rock, rock on. Cash, money, money, rock, rock on. Illadel Massive, rock, rock on. Schoolie D need the rock, rock on. Cosmic Kev need the rock, rock on. And Kobe Cove need the rock, rock on. And the Roots need the rock, rock on. And the Take need the shit, shit. No.
Think about it. 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 Think about it.
Sometimes I wanna rhyme, but then again I must wait for the approaching of a toy to introduce me to his fate. Death. I always try to figure out why sucker MCs wanna battle me when they know they will die in the end. So I pretend you're living trifles. I'ma rope you up like a cowboy, cipher your throat with my microphone cord, cause I'm a lord of the rhyme. Some people say that they can never get bored, cause I'm exciting, pleasurable listening. I'm only trying to show you what your record keep on missing is. I'm only trying to help out your crew, and I know I must forgive you cause you don't know what you're doing. So sucker MCs, please think twice. Would you join the Navy if you didn't like the gravy and rice? Think about it.
Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it. Think about it.
Think about that. Then think about me. If I tried to hit you, do you think that I would miss? Well, I'm fast. I only hit the center mass and head. I'm special at Funkadelic, relic of the ages. If you like this, then I got pages and pages. Thumb, dumb, bubble yum, bubble gum. Chewing, chunk, be screwing. Ah, the fly. I wonder why, what's the reason for the treason, huh? You wanna die? I'm high post, higher than most. Not from friends, but I eat French toast. I'm international, I'm into cash and always got dollars in my pocket. Cause man, it pays to be smart. I turn my art into an empire, cause I grow and grow. So, you know, I never tire. Got the status and the clout, no doubt, of all time. I got the rhyme to take you out. Cause my rap is like a trap that you fall into. I'm special at, now who the hell are you? You're unknown, don't even own a microphone. You can't rap, you make me wanna clap you with a stone in your eye. Why do you persist to make noise when ever since I was a kid I never did like toys? I get furious, leaving empty, furious in the tank.
In the place with style and grace, allow me to lace these lyrical douches in your bushes. Who rock grooves and make moves with all the mommies? The back of the club, sipping my wet is where you find me. What? The back of the club, mackin' my crew's behind me. Mad question asking, passing, music lasting. But I just can't quit because one of these honeys Biggie got to creep with, sleep with, keep the ep a secret. Why not? Why blow up my spot? Cause we both got hot. Now check it, I got more Max and Craig and in the bed. Believe me, sweetie, I got enough to feed the needy. No need to be greedy. I got mad friends with Benz to see notes by the layers. True to life players. Jump in the Rover and come over. Tell your friends, jump in the GS3. I got the by the tree. Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Pop.
You you got a group up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby, baby. Straight up, honey, really, I'm asking. Most of these fellas think they be macking, but they be acting. Who they attracting with that line? What's your name? What's your sign? Soon as he buy that wine, I just creep up from behind and ask you what your interests are. Who you be with? Things to make you smile. What numbers to dial? You gon' be here for a while. I'm gon' call my crew. You gon' call your crew. We can rendezvous at the bar around 2. Plans to leave. Throw the keys to little C. Pull the truck up front and roll up the next one so we can see on the way to the telly. Go fill my belly. A T-bone steak, cheese, eggs, and Welch's grape. Conversate for a few, cause in a few we gon' do what we came to do. Ain't that right, boo? Forget the telly, we just go to the crib and watch a movie in the jacuzzi. Smoke while you do me.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
You got a up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place.
Why?
Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
How you living, Biggie Smalls?
In mansion and business, giving ends to my friends, and it feels stupendous. Tremendous cream, get a dollar and a dream. Still tote gas strapped with infrared beams. Chopping holes, smoking line optimals. Money, f***s and clothes, all a brother knows. A foolish pleasure, whatever. I had to find the buried treasure. So grams I had to measure. However, living better now, coochie sweater now. Drop top BMs, I'm the man, girlfriend.
Honey, check it. Check. Tell your friends to get with my friends.
Your friend.
We could be friends. We could do this every weekend.
That's right.
Alright? Is that alright with you? Yeah. Keep banging.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
Throw your hands in the air if you're a true player.
I love it when you call me Big Poppa.
To the honeys getting money, playing fellas like dummies.
I love it when you call me.
You got the fuck up in your waist, please don't shoot up the place. Cause I see some ladies tonight that should be having my baby.
Check it out. Yeah. Puff Daddy, Biggie Smalls, Junior Mafia, represent baby.
Like.
Just act a fool.
everybody's gonna strip and jump in the pool and do what we like. And do what we like.
Homegirls, for once, forget you got class. See a guy you like? Just grab him in the biscuit.
And do what you like. The red, white, tan, black, yellow, or brown. It really doesn't matter, we could all get down and do what we like. And do what we like. From a pink skin Yankee to a blue, black southerner, ditch, nigga, or governor, just do what you like. Look how you like. That's a Sonic, to jazz for the hip-hop fan. And since we're not your average everyday rap band, your piano man. Play how you like.
You know we're getting busy, can't be corrected. Jay said, has to be deaf. I say what I like. Like I said, sometimes we bite. Even though you don't think it's right. Yo, I like to bite. Just having fun, y'all. And if you think it is wrong, you got to admit, it's a new type of song.
Do what you like. Yeah, do what you like. Yo, go where you like.
Go where you like.
Do who you like. All right, here we go, y'all. Do what you like. Talk how you like. Drink what you like. Grab who you like. Feel what you like. Eat what you like. Scratch where you like. Itch if you like. Go where you like, kid.
A brief announcement to all radio DJs. If this record is currently being played at your station, we will provide the following time for you to announce your station identification. Radio stations may begin your fade here. For those that would like help, we will start your fade for you.
No, we're going to start your fade for you. My goodness. Hey, what's going on in here? Epiphany World, what's going on? Anybody on these mics?
That's how it goes down, Jay.
Uh-oh, watch out. Now, I heard an apparition come from out of nowhere. Who that be?
I don't know. It wasn't out of nowhere. We were right here all along.
Your girl Gina and Mama Donna.
How y'all doing today?
We doing. You know, it's 9:17 here in the East Coast, you know. I'm just trying to stay awake. You know, with my elderly son.
Hey, we're gonna get you tucked in just right directly. Whenever you got a bell or jump, let us know.
And don't worry.
What you think of that song that we just played, Mama Donna?
Lord, y'all trying to take me down memory lane, but remember, all them songs seemed to sound the same back in the day, you know.
I know. That was one of those things that was playing that you're probably like, ooh, they playing it too loud, and they bumpers about to fall off their car.
Yeah. Those were the days. You know, you had your boombox out there,
to hear
you
one
standing
flow.
On the corner, you know, standing on the corner, listening to the music, getting all in the way, doing your little dances and everything.
That was Gina.
Oh, Jerry, you know that.
She's a fly girl.
Jerry, you know that.
No, I don't dance. I boogie.
Hey, I boogie, too. Sometimes I got to have a couple drinks in me. Then I go ahead and get my equilibrium just right to dance.
I was singing
there. What were you doing that you had to get your equilibrium right? Okay, I'm just going to know. I know. Never mind.
Thinking about dancing?
Oh, okay.
Oh, it's a dance floor out there. People always think
you had to rev yourself up. You had to rev yourself
up.
Okay, I understand. I'm going
to smoke me a blunt. I'm going to go out here and do some dances right quick. Come back.
And you warned people. Okay, thank you. That was good of you, too. But they didn't know what they might see, so you had to give them loaded. I understand.
Oh, yeah.
Well, that was kind of make me see. You all right?
I should be. I hope so. I was holding my smoothie over my phone. Maybe it blocked the signal.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Gina, what you over there doing? Don't you try to fade away to the void of the ether?
I am not involving myself in your shenanigans.
Oh, please. You try to put your holier than thou voice on there.
She's above the fray, Jay. She's above the fray.
I know. I can't wait to see it down in here going crazy.
It gets worse.
You're trying to get high acidity on us. I am
Hold
not
on.
Involved
I had my pen in the air and my pinky as well. I was super bougie when
you.
I said that.
Ooh,
all right.
I was super bougie.
Oh, yeah.
Because, you know, bougie and super bougie.
I was acting brand new. No, this is great. Sometimes you play songs that my mom knows, and I be embarrassed. And sometimes you play songs that Stephanie knows, and I be embarrassed. Every now and then, you nail it and play something that I know. So thank you for Digital Underground. That gave me life, and I feel better now.
Yeah. And it's going to be an open poem type of night anyway, so we're going to go where we like.
Yeah. And that's very fitting. Mm-hmm. Like, for real. I try to make myself fit everywhere. So it's a real thing.
It definitely is. It's a skill set, too.
True, true.
We have had an amazing week of poetry this weekend and this week.
Oh, yes, you have so far. Mm-hmm. And it's not over with yet.
It's not over with yet. By a long shot.
We're getting ready to mark the world right now with this amazing bit of poetry for anybody that comes up here. I'm ready.
I know.
My ears are perfect. I'm sitting in anticipation. It's almost like I'm getting ready to go on a date. Who's going to sit up there and woo me? I'm ready.
Yes.
You just stuck in the wooing position. You can woo
yes.
me now.
Yes, I'm waiting to see who's going to come up with those words that's going to make me go swooning, okay? Yeah, I can tell my age. You know the words I'm using. You can tell my age, swooning and woo. All right. Nobody's done that in a long time. Oh, yeah.
You ain't said shiver, bro, though, so we all right.
I still like to be wooed. If you can woo me, you done done something. I might swoon.
All right.
For real, for real. I'm
do women woo men or woo men, or is it just something that is what it is?
Okay.
I guess some women can woo men. But
right.
You know what?
If,
I ain't never
want,
been one of
if
those.
That's your thing.
I believe in the men chasing, not the women chasing.
I mean, if you were to see it out in the wild, would you be like, oh, that's just terrible?
See, we're out in the wild. Who would? You act like they're animals.
They wouldn't care for that.
Say that again.
I think that some men wouldn't care for that. They would see you as predatory. They would feel attacked. They would want to seek shelter. I don't know. I'm just talking off the side of my neck. I have no idea because I don't have a reference for it. Like, me wooing a dude is like, he was posing for a man. You know what I mean? I'm not going to do either one of those. But I've seen it done. And I respected the woman for you know, seeing what she wanted and going for it. It worked out. That's still me.
I've seen that happen plenty of times, though. I've actually seen it get a little catty and stuff like that. So I think it is something that might happen.
Yeah. Some men live for that.
And some men like being the chaser. So, you know, it all depends.
All right. I
don't like chasing men.
So long. I don't know what's going on down here. I'm trying to figure out the rules of engagement.
Just don't.
Well, why do you need to do that? Ain't you married?
It's terrible.
I'm sorry.
Hey,
no,
your microphone is open again, too.
Look, Mom,
yeah, I know.
He's safe.
Say it again.
All right.
People that are married are winning. people who are single any madness that they allow, because you don't know if the person that you're interested in knows how to people. Sometimes they forgot, sometimes they never knew. It's bad.
Sometimes they act like they do.
Yeah. Some are pretending.
Look at me being amongst the humans.
Hot stuff.
Look at
and
you
now I'm mad and I got to put you on the block and get some paperwork.
Yeah, that portion there. Oh, wait a minute. All right. I just seen a hand pop up. Y'all ready to bring in our first person? Let's go ahead and see what they're talking about.
Because you know what I love the most about doing this is hearing poetry.
What's that?
Hearing
poetry. Hearing poetry?
Yes, I like to listen.
You want me to pull some up on the internet?
You know what? Mama.
Unless you're pulling up a somebody that called into the show, yes, we would like you to pull it up over the internet. Pull them on up here because we're interested in knowing who's down there ready to spit their pieces. Thank you.
They are. Oh, yeah, they got their hands dressed up, and I'm up here. They actually in the room with us now.
All right. Well, hello.
Hello, Mama Donna. Hello, Dee Dee, a.k.a. Sister Soul, a.k.a. Genius Storm. And hey, Just Jay, it is C-34 Music. How are all of you doing?
We're doing good. We're doing good. We see that you came in on the scene and we're in that gangster lean and we're ready for you.
Yeah, I'm just seeing him on Facebook burning up the mashups.
Yeah, except for one thing. And Gina, I think you got the message from me that somebody flipped the script on me and I had to make new pages.
Never.
Yeah, I know. Sorry about that, bro.
I have a restriction on my page. I'm not in Facebook jail, but I'm restricted right now.
No, it ain't Facebook jail.
You're Facebook jail?
No,
Gina,
it ain't
what did
Facebook
you do?
Jail.
Stay in Facebook jail. I haven't been in Facebook prison in a couple of years, but, yeah, they be locking me up.
They're
for real. They'll lock you out of your profile. They'll say that, you know, what you did something that violated, you know, their policies and beliefs or whatever. Like, I did something against the community. And so as a result, I now have a restriction. So every time I go to post something, the restriction pops up to remind me that anything that I post, even if it goes viral, will not be monetized during said restricted time. So for me, that's Facebook jail.
Yeah.
Y'all messing with my money. Okay.
They working on your money, man. We got to go ahead and have
I got to work on my language. Look, now I got to be PC. I can't, not only can I not be blackity black, but I have to be politically correct because if I say something that I say on Clubhouse, on my Facebook status or as a comment to something on Facebook, I'm going to jail. And that's why I'm where I'm at now. And y'all haven't heard of things that I say repeatedly. Oh, yeah, I will get locked up.
So does this mean I have to call you Cookie from Empire now?
I don't know. Cookie would love to be me. I'm telling you, it's real bad. I be doing the most.
No, you ain't going to say that about yourself. I just know you gonna have to
No, really. I pulled a 187. I put a 187 on the comment. And I was like, oh, wait a minute. Ah, too late. I'd already
this
sent it.
This was so clever.
And I went to jail.
Deservedly so.
Four weeks. I'll be out in a week. No,
you got a friend request. Y'all both got a friend request from me, so you know the picture.
Oh,
you
so it's not fake.
Like.
Got you.
Yeah, you know what I look like, so here you go.
Hey, Jerry, we're going to ask the question because we know we have a topic tonight.
We do?
Yeah, we do. The question of
I know is, now.
You know now?
Yeah, I'm
do you know what I know? Look, do you know what I know?
You know,
I know,
girl, don't
know,
be
no.
playing with me like that. You know.
You know,
no.
It sounds like neither one of y'all know what the question is.
No, I know. When it just dawned on him, you know, I was thinking, really? We just talked about this. But I keep forgetting he getting old. So, topics of the evening.
Did we talk about the last 30 seconds?
Oh, apparently. I didn't know you were just saying that. Decreased. I cannot. How does one maintain longevity in the poetry game? If you've been writing poetry or been a spoken word artist for 5, 10, 15 years, how did you get there and how do you think you're going to be able to maintain it over the years?
A longevity question.
Yeah.
Okay. Ask that question again because I didn't get that one.
Okay. So you're a poet and a spoken word artist. And depending on how long you've been in the game, are you looking for longevity? And if you've achieved it, how are you going to maintain it?
I'm looking for somebody just to get the message. If I just hit one person that gets the message, I'm good. Longevity, I've been doing this for a while. I'm not worried about the tenure. I'm not worried about whether I get the applause of many. Let me get applause of just one. Let me get not even applause. Let me just know that you get what I'm saying, that you can relate to what I'm saying, and we're good.
That's so dope.
It is.
Yeah.
I feel that. You know why I see those? I haven't been doing this for long. So I like hearing people that have been doing this for a while and what keeps them in the game. And the fact that you want to be able to at least keep your words and your pieces out there and hopefully that it hits at least one person. Because that's where I'm at right now. I want to just reach one person. I'm not looking for the masses. Because you know what? One person can turn into two people and that's how it grows. But as long as I hit that one person, I'm okay.
Exactly. And you don't want to get caught up in the applause because then you're going to get caught up in people categorizing you, labeling you, and you're putting the power in them. I don't need that. All I need is just understand this. One of my sayings is know this and notice. That's all I need. I don't need fame, don't need fortune. Just know this and notice. That's it.
I feel you on that. You know, when we stopped just doing our poetry and our notepads and that, and, you know, sometimes we hide them and we stick them in little safe areas and the rest of that. And when we start going ahead and saying those things outwardly, they take on a whole different complexion. You know, we're going from just our thoughts to ourselves to projecting it out to everybody. If we start falling into the trap of the applause, we can forget why we're doing the things we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yes, indeed.
Bro, do you have a piece for us today?
Yeah, in celebration of a new beginning on Facebook, that means the group page is done. The poetry pages that I created are done because I have no access to none of them. Because I know who did it. And it wasn't Facebook. This piece is called If She Only Had a Brain.
Oh, wait.
Let Gina give you the mic and we're going
to
mute ours.
Thank you.
Honestly. Woo. Mike is yours.
Thank you. If she only had a brain. I think I blew her mind to incoherency by doing the unthinkable where she developed dementia. I observed the shell exposing this love and hip-hop character. The titillating assets is all she had to offer. I first saw her low vibrations when she was 18 at the skating rink. Halter tops and Daisy Dukes slaying men down to their knees, saying all hail the queen, enslaving them by shaved legs, causing them to beg for more. But when we had conversations, her brain froze like a Slurpee as she saw I refused to worship her, which made her nervous, but she had to go and search me. I left her mind hanging there like a scarecrow. My intelligence took her places where no man dared to go. I established my strong man sovereignty, which obviously bothered her, exposing the faults of her that her thoughts sounded like a faucet drip. She became confused, blowing a fuse and being dumbfounded. I realized she found dumb every time I came around, causing her to be amazed by every breath, word, and sound I made. Then she bawled those cowards away, but she couldn't go a day without me. But I'm not a doctor to diagnose whether someone is insane. She had beautiful possibilities, but if she only had a brain. Sometimes I wonder if she was sipping on syrup, going off to see the wizards, carrying a red cup mixed with ripple while limping to the river. You ask for real? For shizzle. That's that piece.
Gina.
Wow. I had to let it breathe. I was like, man. Oh,
no.
Who does that?
Just remind me not to get too pissed off, okay? And it concerns me. I'm just wanting to say, because that right there, that's almost like a church thing, slayed in the spirit. Because that was slayed in the spirit. It was like precision. And it was like little nicks, picks, and then a stab. Yeah, you got your point across. Yeah, I like that.
Thank you, Mama Donna. Appreciate that.
I think they're still trying to catch their breath.
Yeah, I believe they are.
He drew up this painting of this enslaver of men.
Yeah, you left them mute, okay?
Yeah, Gina might be still on mute monologue. Gina, come off of mute. I'll go ahead and go now. Now, you drew up this painting of this enslaver of men. And she was subjugating these dudes, but she had some kryptonite out there, though. And the kryptonite was in the form of you.
Mm-hmm.
She was bothered by you. She was actually, the subject in your poem was shook by you. And it sounded like that her feeling the way she did about you, being in awe of you, what may have you, some resentment had built. Question, was she insane? Then you start talking about the different things out there that might duplicate these same type of movements that she's having, from the scissor down to some other things in her drink. If it was not a drink. I like this one a lot. All right, now, Tin Man, you went with her because I know that you had mentioned the point about the brain, but did you also go with the Tin Man because you felt that she didn't have a heart?
She didn't have the heart to get this.
Gotcha. My man. Gina?
Mm.
Let me make sure Gina's still in the house.
She ain't messing with the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is she?
Oh, wait a minute. Oh. Gina, if you don't get on up in here.
Hello?
Yeah, I hear gold breaking, ain't you? What'd she do? You got disconnected?
I got disconnected, and then I came back, and I raised my hand, but you were asking for me, but there was nothing I could do. But in the meantime, I took off my earrings, put some Vaseline on my face, and put on my gym shoes.
I'm about to move out your way.
I'm just saying, I fight for my brothers. Like, who, what? Oh, people are so crazy. But that's all right. I'm pretty sure that you got it. You played it with your words. I don't even have to punch her. But I was going for a throat. I'm just saying. You did that.
Yeah.
That was, you have a way. You have, well, like Mama Donna said, you have a way that lets people know immediately that you are not to be messed with. Like, this is not what you want. You don't want this. As much as you think you do not want this smoke. So, yeah. And I'm sorry that this happened. But sometimes you can see things coming. We usually do. So, that's it.
Well, on the real, now I got, what, one page by phone and one page by laptop. So, it's a rebuild. It's the rebirth of Slick. Let's go.
But see, if somebody thought that they were going to stop your process, if somebody thought they were going to stop your process, they can't stop what you got. You know, they might deter it, they might derail it, but they can't stop it. You can always get back on track. It's a shame that what you have built up, you have to restart. But you know what? That right there is telling that person, no matter what you think you can do to me, you will never stop me. You might have been beguiling to others, but you're not beguiling to me. I figured you out.
Mm-hmm.
They got hundreds of man hours in there, too. A lot of memories from different poets. You know what, Clarence, that's what you can do? The different poets that you've given the work to, you can go get it all back. You can go find it through them. Yes, sir. So it's not in the easiest spot, but you can go recover a lot of your work, brother.
And even if I don't recover a lot of my work, I can always make it new.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
Not even tripping.
I swear. He, look, he
that's
did everything
right
he
here.
Put me on.
That's the attitude.
So let them eat up the old words that I have. I'm futuristic. And
it.
What did I used to say? What did I used to say, Dee Dee? Edify instead of entertain. That's my mission.
Absolutely.
That's me.
You won.
Yeah, he already winning. Because no matter how you would have felt about that, brother, because nobody had said nothing to you about that. I know poor people that's been lost their poems and it's been sent them into a spiral. I'm about out of control. Ooh,
yeah, it almost went there. But I'm like, y'all can have.
Yeah. You sound like you locked in and focused, though, brother. That's the best part about it. That's the teachable moment out of this, man, was your reaction to the whole thing and your outlook towards your own future.
Yeah, I can't just say I can't be in this victim mentality. That's where they try to take me. They try to make me powerless. Nah.
And we wouldn't have blamed you one bit either, though, brother. But you know what I'm saying? Bigger men do bigger things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she wants to experience the bigger, but she can't. I'm married. Ooh,
call the duck
a duck. Where did that come from? Ooh, Lord.
Sound like it was rated E.
I wasn't gonna say anything, but you know, that's between you and your thoughts. I ain't got nothing to say on that.
Yeah.
Thoughts just hold on.
I don't know what y'all talking about.
Yeah, all right then. Anyway, check my two profiles out. I gotta be with Jill's. Gotta go be with Jill Scott before she calls the police wondering where I'm at.
Oh, we can't have that.
She put on that Vaseline and getting in the way.
Wait a minute.
Well, you tell her I said thank you for the loan, and you go back to have a happy home. Look, love you, mean it, bro, but one love, one mic.
One love, one mic to all of you. Thank you.
Yeah, man, hang around, man. We're going to go through this the three-headed monster thing, and then we're going to go ahead and get back at you, bro.
Well, I'm going to be watching the Lakers game, so I'll listen to the replay.
I heard that, man. I legitimately.
Yeah. All right, one love, one mic, y'all.
Easy, bro. Oh, he's too
all
much.
Right.
Good night. You have to
good
get
night.
Ready for
yes.
him.
Yeah.
Like I said, I don't want to be on his enemy side, but you know what, he handled that appropriately.
Yeah, he moved some furniture around. But, you know, at the end, you know, he could have went further, but he stopped where he did. So I think that's pretty good. It happened from time to time.
I have to work on that. Restraint, that's my downfall right there, restraint.
You get them real cheap online.
We do?
Oh, yeah.
You said restraints, didn't you?
Well, you know, sometimes you want to choose violence, but you know you shouldn't, and that's restraint. So I guess I am kind of I would always love to choose violence.
Well, Jay, this kind of goes in our discussion in the room this morning. Sometimes you got to pick and choose your battles.
You got to pick and choose your battles.
You know, choose wisely, okay? Is it worth it to you? You know, does it help you or does it hurt you? You know, it might feel good.
That's what made me feel good about
but
what
depends, but you,
what
but you can have your lifetime consequence.
Yeah, he was restrained, and that was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you can have a lifetime of consequence off of a minute of happiness because you got your return. Oh, I'm always looking at the deeper meaning because if you don't look at
the
deeper meaning,
day
you
when
don't
I'm
understand
not feeling
the consequence.
The whole kumbaya, you will see.
Right. But for today, it's going to be what it's going to be.
Today's going to be what it be. You might be day that I don't
take
care about the consequence. I'll take the higher road if I can drag you. Sometimes you take the higher road because you can drag somebody up with you so they can throw them off the cliff. But, hey, never mind. I ain't going to talk about that.
Hey, sometimes you need elevation to go ahead and make that possible.
Yes.
How you doing tonight, Gina?
I'm good. I got mom to eat food and second mom to eat a lot of fruit, and they're hydrated and, you know, they're in the bed. But that's okay. They had a full day, and I'm looking forward to
tomorrow. You've been moving around pretty good, ain't you?
Oh, I've been doing the most. it's good
Man.
Stuff and good stuff. I'm actually in a good place. Yeah. I sat still for a long time, but I felt like I needed to, and then I sat still for too long, and now it's time for me to move around again. But here I am.
Right. So you wouldn't follow the seasons. You got to migrate when the buffaloes migrate. When the buffaloes start doing something different, you don't want to look up and ain't no buffaloes around you. That means they left last night. Yeah. I'm forced to get outside.
Time,
I would not get outside at all. Say it again.
I said, low key, you call me a buffalo, but all right. And actually, I thought I was in hibernation like a bear.
Oh, well, you know, I like buffaloes and bears. They buffalo,
I didn't want to say anything, Gina. I didn't want to say anything, but I heard that gist, but, you know, I was hoping you would handle it by yourself, okay, which you did, okay, but don't ever let Jared get away with stuff, okay, because he did call you a buffalo.
Like, oh my goodness,
I don't know what the heck that was supposed to be. I don't know. It's not like
that
you were on the range or
Ice
anything
Age
like that. No. You act like she roamed the ranges and know that that's very, very rude.
She ain't gonna eat healthy like no buffaloes.
Buffaloes don't eat healthy, they eat crap. That's all they know.
Hey, that's healthy to them.
Right, for them. What you saying? Gina will be over there throwing down with her food and her cooking and stuff like that. What you talking about?
I'm
not worried about him. He's next. He got one trick.
Hey, it's a bother trying to get real creative with that one move. But, you know, I'm making it work so far.
As long as you think you're a legend in your mind, you're okay.
Mm, I was trying to move and say, uh-huh.
That's what you were doing? Lord, if
I was
you
giving
have to
it
explain
a shot.
It to somebody, don't. Okay, if you got to explain it to somebody, don't do it again, okay?
Sometimes it's so funny, you got to break it down for folks.
No. It was so funny that they missed it and you got to explain
yes.
it, don't do it again.
I'm going to have to go and see, but I can stick the landing next time I know.
Yeah, I've never been that successful on sticking the landing. You've been sticking something, but the landing ain't it.
I ain't never been good at flips. I always wanted to do it, but I didn't want to do it. And then next thing you know, like, yeah, I've been like this ever since I tried to flip as a kid. Mm-hmm.
I used to, as a child, I used to flip. As an adult, I like to stand upright. There's something about that that makes me feel very comfortable.
What were you doing, cartwheels, or were you actually doing flips?
Cartwheels. I tried to do flips, but you know what? I was not that agile. So I only did that once.
I wasn't
going to
stretch myself out for
that. Okay. Falling on my back a couple of times told me this was not my ministry.
Oh man, Gina, have you ever done a flip before?
I love gymnastics, but gymnastics did not love me.
I strained 8 muscles in my back and dislocated 2 vertebrae doing gymnastics in PE in the 10th grade, and therefore did not participate in gym for the remainder of my high school career. Yeah, so.
You must be waiting for a new body to get built.
I got spare parts for days. Please know this. I'm my Alex.
What the hell? You made out of paper mache? What the
That was the old me. Now I'm titanium. I will last forever.
I heard that. Got to swap out the good for the bad.
Please believe.
Mm-hmm.
When I see my friends doing cartwheels and flips and roundhouses, all I can think is, where these kids come from? These kids can't come. They came from my bloodline? Ooh, that's honest. Like, never. It skipped me.
You got your
like, twins. I didn't get none of
kids.
That. I didn't
yeah,
know
my daughter did gymnastics.
They killing it.
Shoo, Sherelle?
Yeah, she did gymnastics in high school. Yes, she did.
She's so shy. I didn't think she did that would have had in the spotlight.
She ain't got nothing to do with sports. When I tell you her and her brother were in competition to see who had the most trophies, that was them two.
Mm.
And with his football and her with her gymnastics, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Sibling rivalry.
You remember, at the time, she was very small, and she was the right height, you know, for gymnastics.
Yeah. I did a little bit of football and some other stuff, but I'm about to go ahead and get me into some poetry right now.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
We don't need to go hard on me. I'm going to go, hey,
we have anybody that's no. ready to come up here and do their pieces?
Mm-mm. It's us.
Oh, just we're going to do a whole speed round then.
Yeah, it's the NBA playoffs. Folks is enjoying their time. I was surprised Dexter had dipped in here like he did. Good dude.
He sent me a text and he said if we were here, he would be too.
Mm-hmm. That's good to see him. So who wants to go first? How are we going to do this thing?
I like the way he vents. I think I might have a piece on him.
Oh, yeah. Remember, you got to look up pieces now. Just can't pull one out there. unless that's what you're doing.
You have jokes. No, I wish I could. Man, please, let me figure that one out, I swear.
Ta-da, out the air. Mm-hmm. We got to work you into that one piece too, Gina.
I would love to do it. I love that collab so much.
Yeah, I was like my first collab. When Jared said he wanted to do a piece too, I was like, ooh, this is going to be good.
Yeah, my first collab too.
Ever?
Ever.
Wow, I'm surprised at that.
Me too. Now that I think about it.
Well, I have a piece that's already pulled up if y'all want me to do it.
Yeah, we can go ahead and do these one at a time.
Yeah, so, Mama Donna, I'll go after you and Jay, you anchor.
All right, let's go ahead and do them individual, and then we can go ahead and chop them up. We had a time for it.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yes, for sure.
Mike is yours, Mama Donna.
I made an idol of you. No, I didn't. I made marriage the idol. In my quest to be married, I picked a damaged individual, along with my own internal damage, made it a combustible, chaotic relationship. It was destined to end. I was already, put a prophetic declaration on it. I would tell people, however long it lasted, this is where to start a marriage. No matter how hard I try to lay blame at your feet, I have to take the blame for my part. The marriage I fantasized about hit this thing called reality. You were far from the knight in shiny armor. You were just a man after all. A man who could not, would not, and cannot heal my wounded heart. I placed a responsibility on your shoulder that was an impossible load to carry. So when the relationship ended, I didn't shed a tear. It was a relief to my soul. The struggle love has ended. Now I can concentrate on breaking up this heart of stone. And that's the wisdom of Mama Donna.
Oh,
it came from that old 30 from 30, didn't it?
Yeah, look, really, I don't know that one.
Yeah, that's from the 30 for 30.
That was on Tavares.
I love you. Huh?
That was off the Tavares side.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was like, it wasn't ringing any bells for me, but I liked it. And I love the way that you went. Matter of fact, Mom Dad, I have to be honest with you. You had some of the best 30 for 30 poetry I ever heard from a new poet. Like most people who haven't been poeting, you know what I mean, for years, struggle to even write the 30 for 30. Not only did you write the 30 for 30, but you understood the assignment.
Well, yeah,
I
saw everybody going through this love thing, and you know, I don't write to love because, you know, that's the end, that struggle love. That's what I had, so I don't want to write about struggle love, you know. So let's see. I have never made an idol of anybody. I mean, I like particular celebrities, yes, but they're not my idol. It's not I like my world will end if I never saw them in person. Everything's good. The people I wanted to see in person, I saw. Fantasia, Patti LaBelle.
No, you
want
to see Burt Reynolds.
I'm fine. I'm not going to sit up there and swoon that they talk to me. I don't do that. I don't have anybody I put up on a pedestal. Because you know what? I can't even put my own stuff up on a pedestal, so I'm not going to put you up there. So when I started to write this piece, I'm like, I didn't make anybody an idol. I might have made a thing an idol. That was the marriage. Because I always lived in this fantasy world of I'm going to get married and everything's going to be perfect. And yes, we'll have our ups and downs, but we'll work together. Yeah, that shouldn't didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. You put all the burden on me, wanted me to carry the relationship. While he just walked around doing what he do. Whatever the hell that was. Yeah, whatever the hell that was. You know, come home when you're ready to eat some food. If you decide you want to fuck, you fuck. And if you decide that you don't. And if you want to go out, you go out. And we either do it together or you do it alone. So that wasn't a marriage. That was coexistence.
Oh, he was on that bullshit.
Yeah. You know, but and especially if I stayed home while he was able to do everything he did. Because, you know, in the Jamaican world, I'm a big woman, which means I'm older. So I should stay home. And I'm sitting there, wait a minute. You met me at a club. You ain't met me at no church social. Well, I need to stay home.
Yeah, just last year. It ain't like we've been in this like 30 years deep, fool.
Okay. You met me in the club dancing. Lord, no, no, no. You want to go out, you go out. I'm going to still go out. You know, and no matter how much older you get, when you come in with stupid things like, oh, you just listen to your friends. You know what? I'm a grown woman. I don't have that time. I don't have that kind of time. I listen to what people have to say. They either go in one ear and out the other, and I hold it in. Somebody tells me something about you, I just hold it in. I just sit there and wait for the right moment to spring it up. I'm not sitting there listening to nobody. I store away information. And once I store
enough
information,
was he telling the truth, Mama? Do you just listen to your friends when they told you about his no good ass in the street?
Nope, I didn't. Because the funny thing is, Jared, nobody ever told me anything about him. Everything I've ever learned about him is something that he did on himself.
Right.
You know, I mean,
I wonder how she
know, because
she's sloppy
here
as fuck. Nigga, that's how I know.
you tell on yourself. I mean, if you was a good cheater, you know, you wouldn't get caught. But you're not even a good cheater.
So he wasn't a French cheater. He was just like some nigga.
You know, you're the worst cheater. You got a baby out there. How the hell are you going to hide that?
Where are your cheating plans for that baby fit in for?
That is the ultimate tail on yourself, okay? You got a baby. Ooh. No, I wasn't cheating. Oh, yeah?
You're not very good at this thing.
Well, in these parts, we call that a side family.
Okay?
This fool.
Okay?
Then got some
got
girl to go ahead and keep her mouth shut.
If I was to cheat, Jared, I don't have the equipment anymore, so if I was to cheat, you wouldn't have never known about it.
I don't know about that.
No, if you're behind ain't home, you don't know what I'm doing. If you ain't calling a checkup and you don't know what I'm doing, I could be laying up there with somebody and you wouldn't even know it. Huh?
Now all of a sudden you care. I'd be like, now all of a sudden you care. And you're crying and stuff.
You know,
oh, man. Killing me.
Because a lot of times, you know, sometimes people don't understand. I don't cheat because of you. I don't cheat because of who I am and my morals and my values.
You just said, let
me cheating on you. Huh?
I said, you've been saying allegedly or then.
Allegedly.
Yeah, or then.
Allegedly, I might have cheated. Allegedly, I might not have.
That's allegedly me.
Yep. Allegedly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Exactly. You just like talking about things. I don't know what you're talking about.
Right.
Oh, man.
So that's the reason I wrote that, because Wallace said when I was doing the 30 words, I always take things and put it in a different direction than what people were doing. And that's what I like doing. I don't like doing what everybody else do.
Wallace had a master plan with that 30 for 30. He said, I'm involved in the one here at Small House, and I'm over here with Tavares and him. He was thinking about trying to squeeze a third one in there. The reality of that set in, I'm like, shoot, you ain't had no time for that 365. You ain't got time for that nut.
Look.
You'd be
I said up there, I went strong, and then halfway through, I started to fizzle. And I'm like, okay, that's enough of that crap.
Before it make me hate
for
it, I'm done.
It pushed me. I got to 15. I was done.
How far you get, Gina? Timing all off tonight.
Gina, unmute.
I was in the kitchen making a bunch of noise. I apologize, y'all. And when I say
so
a bunch of noise, like, it was ridiculous.
How many pieces did you get for 30?
How many pieces did I get in my 30 for 30?
Mm-hmm.
This year, honestly, only 27. And I felt bad because I knew
only
I could have made it. Yeah, because there's one.
She did a different freestyle like every day.
Maybe my first. No, I did not freestyle. I wrote these pieces and shut it. You know.
And towards the end, you was talking about freestyle pieces.
I did not. Nope.
You said it over there. Don't have me track down that quote.
I'm going to say it again. Shut it.
Shut it.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
Allegedly. I
freestyle. Allegedly.
I don't recall. Allegedly.
All right.
But no, there were some years that I literally wrote 90 pieces in 30 days.
Oh, shit.
Now, yeah, I was going nuts. I had nothing else. Like, my life was...
That is nuts.
I did not...
That's admirable, though.
Anything but write poetry. Oh, yeah, I went nuts. I'm telling you. Like, if you ever see a note of mine on Facebook as a memory, sometimes they're from that period. Like, I was writing 5 and 6 pieces a day. Then I would be hearing these poets, and they would come on Clubhouse, and they would be like, yeah, so this is fresh ink this morning. And then the next time they spit a piece someplace else or maybe in that same room, this one is also new. I wrote it this afternoon. I'm thinking, wait, what? But you don't have a job. You just write poetry.
Oh, no.
That would be that their job had actually become writing poetry. And I was working.
Some people are just good
at
with content like that, though. Like, if I do 90 pieces, you know how many of those pieces are going to sound alike.
No, but understand this. If you're going through something, you'd be surprised at how much you have to say.
Oh, yeah. They're just throwing at you. Even when you go to sleep, like, I got to wake up.
Living in that. Whatever, if it was trauma, if it was joy, if it was, you know, whatever the situation was. I'm going through something, everybody going to hear about it, and it's going to all come out with this pen. So, yeah, everybody's getting that work. Them 30 for 30s were hectic. I mean, and at the least, it would be like 60, 65 pieces in 30 days. But I will say, for the record, I believe that 90 was the most that I had penned.
If you can get over into the 20s for me, that's damn good.
Man.
That's damn good because I don't have no intention on doing 30 for 30. I will support the hell out of you, though. I ask you every day, like, oh, you missed 1 minute. You got to go back and get that piece. Don't let no daylight grow on that thing, man. Go ahead and get that piece so you can keep going to get your 30 for 30. And I ain't like, you going to do yours?
Right.
No.
And I would be doing it, I think I would be doing it like that, like crazy, more so to show people that it could be done, more so than to prove to myself that I could do it. Because it literally, for me, was the best part of every day. So if other people, like Clarence said, if just one person would be like, oh, Jalen, that spoke to me, that was dope. I didn't need a lot of comments. I just needed somebody to read it and feel some type of way about it. And know that what I wrote resonated with them. So that was amazing.
That's what I'm talking about right there. You talk about legacy fans. Talk about fans that go beyond sight, like Lionel and this fast group. You know, the people who liked it back then, they still like it right now. You talk about legacy fans. That's what I'm talking about. You know?
Okay, so here, like, I got pieces from 2013. A lot. I wrote a whole lot in 2013. 2015 as well. So when I go back and I read the comments, like, that literally some of those people have passed, or some of those people, they don't even have Facebook anymore. But they did when I wrote whatever the piece was, and something that I said spoke to them enough to share it, and then they'll come up in my memories because it was shared by somebody else, even though I didn't share it. It was shared by a friend or a loved one or a fellow poet. So that for me, that would make it worth it. You know, I didn't care if, I'd be lying if I said. I recovered when the manuscript, the only one that I had for my poetry book, went missing. When a trusted friend that I thought, you know, was my guy, he had a book published. He actually wrote it on toilet paper with a very small pencil while incarcerated. That inspired me. I picked up my pen and wrote a book. It was going to be just simply a book of poetry by me. I had 100 pieces. None of them were more than if I were reading them aloud, because at the time I wasn't a spoken word artist. I was just a poet. So if I read them aloud, none of them would be more than 2 minutes. But I had 100 of them. And I put them in a book for him. And I never saw him in my book again. Yeah.
Wow.
But I survived that, and I continue to write, and I know I've written several hundred pieces since then, and I'm a whole other person based on that experience. So I'll always be able to poet. I'm not worried about it in the least.
I think I have a jar full of poetry, and I have to go ahead and issue it out. Have to ration it. I'm a slow writer. And I do well as far as prompts and stuff like that, but I really only get the base down. I don't get the what I would call a complete piece out until I go through and add some pieces or give a corner some more color than what I gave to it. Then I'll fill the pieces down once, you know, it causes images to pop into the head.
Yeah. That makes sense. I get it. I was just thinking about it. I was like, do I ever do that? No, I kind of do.
I think we as humans do all types of weird things. I think that's the most wonderful thing about us.
Unique and weird things, unique to each individual. What this world would be like if everybody did the same thing?
It'd be a world controlled by ants.
Okay.
That's what a lot of people always call for, especially people that call themselves supposed to be fears of God. First thing they want, like, God, take this away from me. I just was like, yeah, you got to try to have it taken away from you so you can go ahead and help you with it. You can't be like, I'm going to the casino. God, help me.
Nah, that's not how it works.
I'm going to jump out the airplane. Oh, God, please help me land softly. I ain't got
no
parachute.
Flag on the play.
All right, Miss Dina, did you have that piece ready?
Yeah, I was doing this thing. I wanted to tell y'all just the backstory. So 2013, for some odd reason, it occurred to me that there were people who wanted to say things but didn't know how. So I decided that I would be their voice. So they would give me a word, and I would write a piece in what I thought would be their voice. So I wrote this piece for Gerald B. Wallace on February 21st, 2013, and the word was love. So I titled my piece Love.
All right, Gina, the mic is yours.
Thank you. Love, commonly used, often misused, daily abused, with lust confused. Love is good when mutual hurts, when unrequited instant, when unconditional, faith-filled and spiritual. Cures what ails, a mother loves, never fails. Romantic love warms the soul, your heart makes you feel whole. It's sometimes elusive, best when exclusive. I love love. Four letters that can change your life. When used by the right, you can become a husband or a wife. Love is powerful and emotional. Love is the absence of hate. We all experience some type of love during life, wrong or right.
love is God's light in peace.
I like that you didn't focus on just relationship, because love is so many different things. And you broke it down. And I love love and right circumstances. So I really appreciated that piece.
Love is unconditional. Love is powerful.
I didn't know. I'm sorry, Jared. I wanted to thank Mama Donna, but I didn't know how to angle it the way of a person who I'd seen on his post. He was heartbroken. Apparently, he had a bad breakup, and it was his first time trying to love after his divorce. His kids were grown. He's older than me, but not. I don't think he's 60, but I think he's closer to 60 than he is 50. And we had been friends for years, and so I was thinking, you know, he'll bounce back. It'll be okay. So I wanted to give him love in all the ways that you can receive it, so that he wouldn't just be focused on that romantic love that didn't work out. And that was in his voice.
That is it. Yeah, that was a gift, because sometimes, because we've had a romantic loss, that's all we focus on. We forget about the love of our children, the love of our family, the love of life or anything. We just focus on, oh, I'm not worth anything because that person has left me, or I've left that person.
Or I've lost
that love.
And I'll never love again. That's the worst.
Yeah.
Look at Gina out here trying to wrap the wing of them wounded birds.
You know, at the time, I didn't know what I was doing, Jay. But you know what I did know?
I'm trying to figure out, Gina.
Is
that how you and Jay became friends?
I wish somebody would have done that for me. When I didn't have the words.
Say it again, Gina. No, she did not.
I always wish that someone would do that for me when I didn't have the words. So that's what I started doing, providing the words for others.
Look,
and that's a beautiful thing. So Jared said something about, look at Gina taking up wounded. And I said, isn't that how y'all became friends? She picked you up? Okay, never mind. I'll leave that alone. But you were going to say something before, Jared. What were you going to say to Gina?
He forgot.
Nope. Love is unconditional. Love is powerful. We all experience some type of love. Love is light. This is a love poem, Gina?
It was a love of love poem because, good job, second mom had lost the remote and he found it. Like I said, after his breakup, he was so, good job. She found it, mommy. He was so down quiet, and I don't know if it's madness, but she found it. But I didn't want him to give up. I didn't want him to just say, you know what, I can't be with anybody. Oh, you know, to hell with love. People suck and the world's a terrible place, because, you know, that's where I live. But I wanted him to keep his head up, and I wanted him to see love in every way that love can be seen and received, so that he wouldn't be stuck in that place of angry. You know
that
what I
place
mean?
Is the worst.
Hurt and angry, right. And so when I wrote that for him, his son sent me a message and said, thank you. I don't know what you did, but... he fixed my dad. Apparently, he was losing it. And so I'm glad that
happened. He out here fixing me, yeah.
Yeah, but, I mean, yeah, so I would like to, next time I get married, to have a man who's not already broken. Yay. That's not the way
that you
want to
break up
yourself. That's damn near impossible.
I want to break him myself.
Okay, that's damn near impossible in this day and age that you find a man that hasn't already been broken.
I know, but you
unfortunately,
know, I didn't
know. Unfortunately, life.
Look, maybe
I'm so optimistic, Mama Donna.
or even for a man to find a woman that hasn't been broken. I'm sorry. You know, it's going to, that's the only way that can possible. She's a virgin. She ain't never talked to nobody. You married her fresh off the boat or something. I don't know.
She still could have fell in love with somebody.
Yeah.
Look, he's going to pull up at my house with somebody that ain't broken.
Yeah.
Now he's going to pull up at my house in his unicorn, and I'll be like, ooh, baby, I was waiting on you.
Ooh, baby.
Let's go. I already told my mother and my daughter
Pegasus
about
you. Unicorn. Where you found such a fine steed in?
Oh, God. It keeps getting better.
That's too much.
So that leaves you.
I love it.
Mr. Just J, we don't need to get that poetry about you, sir. I'm glad
you
I ran into
that
one, though.
About you. I am, too.
We're about to get this work.
All right.
You
we need to get that mic. Yeah,
okay,
I think I know what I was saying.
Give him the mic, Mom.
All right, Jared, the mic is yours.
Oh, wait a minute. I got some technical difficulties going on over here. Man. Wait a minute. What the hell? I'll be playing that. All right. I couldn't see the bottom of the poem. Right, I'm just going to take a stab. This was a prompt piece that I got from out of Restless Room. You know, they give like 15 million prompts and tell you to go ahead and write one poem. And a lot of times the selection of prompts will be longer than your poem going to be. All right. Growing up an alien, stranded on an alien world, I had to learn to be emotionally sovereign because my very nature is an affront to these people. You see, they are not just emotional issues that hobble the masses, but also matters of hard wiring and generational expectations seasoned with corruption. The problems come from the pain of power and monetary gain. The pollution is laced into the undercut, the substrate, and is stirred by feet tinkling, the muddy waters. But despite the rain, there is no clarity. Only the dead-eye stare of cold-bloodedness, and they strike each other indiscriminately, like snakes in a pile, and they get riled up.
Wait, what?
I'm an alien on the planet.
No,
well,
way.
There's got to be more. That can't be it.
That's it. It was a
well,
prompt
remember,
piece.
He's writing, it was a prompt piece, and he only had 10 minutes to write.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, makes
and
sense
never,
now.
He
Thank
never
you.
Went back to add to it.
See, I didn't write to that prompt. I didn't know about that prompt, but I will say this. Now that I know that, it makes more sense to me. Because just hearing it, I was like, nah, you can't just leave
yeah,
it.
Yeah, y'all okay. So wait, where's the more at? Ain't no more. That's it.
No. No. I got it now. But, yeah, considering the fact that what you said, Mama, 10-minute prompt?
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had a tough time wrapping my head around this one.
No, what I'm saying is you did a great job with that because I don't think I would have came up with that.
Yeah.
What exactly was the prompt, Jared?
No, they do 10 million prompts. One of them is I had to learn to be emotionally sovereign. I think that's the only thing I have. These are all the prompts. I had to learn to be emotionally sovereign. The persistence of longing, I think I may have used a portion of that. Discipline and purpose of moving away. Everyone always left. Being left amounts to a body count. It's okay to love me first. This may sound strange, but the business of breaking up, it's okay to love me. Love me first. This may sound strange. No, that's the same thing. Yeah, it's one of them that's
well, see,
missing
I,
from
I,
my
I, when
head.
I do, when I'm in Russ's room and I see, I can't do all those prompts into one piece. I'll just focus on one. That's just the easiest way for me, you know.
What I normally do is, since they do it that way, is I'll take a main prompt and I'll start running with it. And if I feel myself even get a little bit shaky, I'll go up there and review and see if something give me a kickstart to go ahead and get my pen going fast again.
Because they be coming up with 12, 15 prompts, okay? And if you try to get all of them, who was that did that, Desi? Denise, he did like just about all the prompts. That's just too much for me.
I don't be liking that because some things don't need to go together. Not to say that there are people out there with a natural knack, but some stuff don't need to go together.
Well, I can say that was interesting. The alien part, I don't quite understand where that came from when you're talking about
didn't
the prompt,
fit in.
But knowing, huh? But for you, I'm getting ready to say for you, it fit for you, you know, because you are this alien being when you start writing your pieces. And I don't know how you'll start out with something and how it takes a left or right and everything. But at the end of the day and at the end of the piece, it all goes together.
Because I hope
you
do.
The prompt by yourself, when you say the prompt by itself, it doesn't, unless you know what the prompt is, you would never
mm-hmm.
know how you got to this conclusion.
You know, I think a lot of it came from the discussion. Like today he had a thing about the astronaut, the family astronaut, the person who one idea may be against everybody else's idea, but that one person may be right, but that person has to go ahead and bear the burden of being the stupid one who wants to go ahead and try to deal with that type of stuff.
Right, because basically what he said with the astronaut is that they're the one that's based in reality. Everybody else around them is not based in reality. And they're not based in reality because they're too busy trying to protect the person that they're trying to protect. So if you have an addict in your family, the other members are busy trying to protect the addict. While you're the main one that's saying, look, he's an addict, he needs help. Oh, no, he's all right. We all do a little this.
You don't care.
And then you become the outsider because you're trying to inject some reality in and saying that this person needs help. And you're not trying to be an enabler while he's surrounded by enablers. So, yeah, that's the astronaut. You're out there in the stratosphere while everybody else is down there on Earth trying to protect this one person. You know, see how I said
right.
that in less than 2 minutes? You see how I said that in less than 2 minutes? Russell said that for 20.
That might have been about 2:15, okay. But I'll let you hear that.
So, you know, you always had that person that's the fall guy in a family. That's just a family dynamic. So if you went there and you went through family structure, you find that everybody in your family has a certain role within the family.
Right. And we also talked about
how
people end up getting those roles. Yeah, but sometimes people get thrust into positions they don't really want to be in. And then that's
the
problem, too.
Everybody can be in a certain role at any given time, depending on how the functionality of the family unit. If you have dysfunction at any given time, anybody can be thrust into that astronaut role or the scapegoating role. Anybody can be forced into
or the
that.
Black sheep.
Because any role, right, because all that is anybody that puts you in that role, they're in the power dynamic. They just shifted the power, and they're trying to shifting the power to control so they can control the narrative. And when they control the narrative, they have the power. It's like when me and my sister were at loggerheads, you know, because she always was the favorite child. So when she became an adult, she still expected to have that same role as an adult within my life. And I had to take the power back because I made a promise to my mother I would take care of her, but I can't take care of her. She's a grown woman. So that power dynamic had to shift. So
yeah.
She can understand she's her own individual and I'm my own individual. We're not children anymore.
Yeah. And those shifts can upset a little micro community. They're like a little family. From the weakest link on up to the top, the matriarch.
Yes, it can.
So if people stop having that person to dump on, people feel a little bit less than what they are because that's not available to them no more. And when they got together, that's the one thing they had in common. I sure would hate to find out if somebody don't have nothing in common. They thought they did when the only thing they had was dumping on one person in the family.
And it's not so much as they're dumping on one person on the family, their ability just to dump on people. And you having to sit up there and say, I'm not going to be that person any longer. Because it was not discriminatory. You understand what I'm saying? A dump was a dump. She didn't care who she dumped on. But, you know, but me being her sister, I decided I can no longer let you dump on me because I have to take this power back because now you're holding me hostage to what you're going through. I'm not the cause of it, and I'm not going to be the one that's going to be able to solve it. I got my own issue. I'm trying to take care of my kids and my own self. So you know what? There was a period of time we did not talk for like 2-3 years because I would not allow her to use me as her dumping ground.
I tell you what, it's
also hard to wrestle power from somebody that's been powerful in your life. When you've been
it's our own training. It's the same way like with an animal. They teach the animal to obey the commands, but then they have to train the owner to go ahead and not put bad habits into the animal. So it's a two-part thing.
From the time I was 6 years old, my one function was to take care of my sister. And then when my mother passed away, I mean, the things that my mother would still do for my sister before she would do for me. So that power dynamics was there for my mother, and it was transferred. So in those times when I've never heard the words, I love you, from my mother, and the one time she said it, it freaked me out. But the funny thing is here, I found out from my aunt after she passed. Oh, your mother talked very highly of you. She never told me. She might have told other people. She said I didn't need that kind of. She didn't need to do that for me because she knew I was capable. My sister needed it. So you see, that's a power dynamic. Because my mother decided who was strong and who was weak. And we both played our roles. Hello?
Mm-hmm. I tell you what. We are going to go ahead and go into one more round of poetry. And then we're going to go ahead and wrap it up. How are you doing over there, Gina?
I'm good. I was just listening to everything. I also told my mom that I ate minimally at the party because it's hard to concentrate on your food when you're people watching. Because I met a lot of these people for the first time today, but they were just like conversation. You know how when the people that you know are telling you about, you know, I got this one sister or I got this nephew, or I knew the names. I didn't know the faces. I didn't know the personalities. And I slept. A lot of it sank in for me today, and I was thinking in terms of...
The things line up?
Oh, it was almost as though they had painted a picture in my mind that made it possible for me to know who was who without them saying. Like the person would introduce themselves to me, and I would be thinking, oh, yeah, you definitely Tony. Or, yes, you are Vivian. Oh, I already don't like you. You know what I mean? Like, oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
It was next level. But it was awesome at the same time because this was... For them, this all they know is I'm Stephanie's mom.
Mm-hmm.
I like it like that. So I know I had an advantage, but I also had a good time. And then you see how this woman had 9 children, 90 years old, 9 children. 4 showed up, and only 1 takes care of her full time, and the others don't do anything for her financially, knowing that everything that's not covered by her insurance is covered by the sister who's our full-time caretaker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you know people by what they do. I mean, you can say whatever you want to. Oh, we all love mom. We were so glad that we could get together and do this.
I didn't hear one person thank Barb for hosting this event or for, you know, cooking the majority of the food or taking care of their mom for the last 30 years. I'm just, you know, keeping it a buck. People are a mess. And when you see that, you appreciate the people who are good and who work together and who are, you know, part of the village, because grandma's just like the kids. She needs support. She needs support daily, not just sometimes. So I saw that in real time today.
But understand that, Gina, everybody doesn't have your heart to take care of their elderly person. I've seen it so many times.
I never understood that.
And so many families.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
I just felt like this is our duty.
Then,
this is what we do. You know, they took care of us when we were little,
and
we take care of them when they're old.
That one caregiver that's taking care of her, and as soon as she passes on, the first thing everybody's going to say is, where's mine? If there's anything left.
Oh, right. And that's the sad thing. You know what I was thinking? This is just me. Because I've been on a long line of people that don't celebrate birthdays. That's the best you could do. Your mama 90, and you get her a nightgown from Walmart? And I'm not saying that. No, they all were, because I seen them. You know what I'm saying? I do most of my shopping online. So you can't tell me that nightgown didn't come from Walmart, or the one that her son got it, or you know what I'm saying? Like, y'all play too much.
Right.
And you can buy greeting cards from the Hallmark store. She's 90. I mean, if you're going to celebrate, do it right. Don't buy a Dollar Tree card, or, you know, the $10 nightgown from the Walmart that my mama would set that on fire before she wear it. But your mama 90, so, you know, we different. It's just, I don't understand people. But, you know, I do understand is that woman lived 90 years, still has some faculties, was engaging us in conversation, knew each person's name, thanked everybody, and still gives good hugs. That's a lot.
Well, she's got all her cognitive parts to her.
Yeah. I mean, you know, she has a weakened spine and legs, knees, and ankles that are shot, but she can still ambulate. You know, she's getting around. She's making things happen. She, you know, like, combs her own hair and brushes her own teeth and feeds herself and only wears a diaper to bed. And I'm thinking, if it wasn't for accidents or, you know, not her, she can't move swiftly. You know what I mean? So obviously, that's a necessity. But outside of that, man, please, let me have that much going for me at 90. I'm going to be like, hoo-hoo. Yeah, I'm going to need a stripper and everything. But, you know, we're different, so.
I heard that.
I saw this lady on Facebook that was invited up. Was propping up their mother. She said she was 72. They said the mother was 72 and gave birth to 20 children.
Oh, wow.
Wait, how old was the last one? Children. 8, 9, 10 years old? What are we talking about?
Right. Wow.
No, the mother's 72, so she has. They'd have to be at least in their 30s or 40s. The one that was filming said she was the 20th child. So I was sitting there, go ahead, Mama, because, you know, that couldn't have been me. That wouldn't be me. That would never be me.
No. Out of doing this five kids deep.
And you know what? And they have the same mother and father, 20 children.
What? Wow.
Now, I know if everything had turned out right, they would have had about 18 children. And they said that they were pregnant from, I forgot that year range that they gave me to the next one. Within all those years, they were pregnant at some part. Even if they were almost made it out of that year with getting pregnant, bam, they were pregnant within, like. And they were pregnant, like, within that year.
Some men don't want to wait 6 weeks. And that's how sometimes you have babies and they don't understand that woman is not healed and they don't want to wait 6 weeks. And then you're sitting there going, okay.
Oh, 6 weeks
how
is
you
still
having
get
a
you
baby?
Into the same calendar year. You can have some ghetto twins in 6 weeks.
Yes, you can.
Oh, please believe. My aunt Penny and
then some
my uncle
people,
Jerome.
And then some people believe Some people believe if you breastfeed, you can't get pregnant. That's a lie. You can still get pregnant.
No, that's a lie, too. Yeah.
That's a lie.
Because my grandmother had a baby like that, thinking that she wouldn't get pregnant. Oh, yeah. We had, like, three sets of ghetto twins in our family. My Uncle Jerome and my Aunt Patty was born in the same year. Think about that. Same year.
Yeah.
Hey, Gina, right. You had those black facts for us.
Oh, wait. I need to... Oh, you know what? Mom gave me one, and I think I saved it to my tablet, but I left my tablet on the kitchen table, so I won't get it back to tomorrow. Hold on. But she gave me one.
Oh, man.
This was awesome. Yeah, because... And it was a black fact. Okay, so I'm just going to tell you the story, and then I go to the black facts. So this is the story that I got from Barb in regards to her mom, and she co-signed it when she was telling it to me. Grandma was raised nodding her head and said, that's true, but his name was Thomas. And she had said that his name was Timothy, and it was Thomas. Grandma Jo is 90. Her great-grandfather, no, I think it was. I think it was her great-grandfather. Her great-grandfather, Thomas, was one of the white people, abolitionists who were against slavery, who was helping with the Underground Railroad in Burrell, Illinois, when the slaves would make it from the South to Illinois, making sure that they have safe passage, lodging, and food, and education, and learn to trade so that they could begin work as free men and women. And this is, they're like sixth generation Mexican. And you don't learn these things in school any more than we learn all of the black facts that we come across. So I just thought that was amazing, that her family bloodline was helping, could be relatives of mine. Good stuff. Okay. But yeah, that was awesome. And I didn't even know. I didn't even, it even occur to me that Mexicans would be involving themselves in freeing slaves.
Appreciate that.
Thank you. I appreciated that. I appreciate hearing things that are legitimately part of people's family's history, not just black history facts.
A lot of times these black history facts get regurgitated out there in a way that's not really appealing to the ear. And we all have to say, like, But, you know, we don't get a chance to be a part of that person. That person was more than just those peanut inventions and heart pumps and the person who made the MRI, the person who actually individuals. And I think we got the individual fit, touch and feel for this one here, Gina.
Yes, I enjoyed that. This is one of my favorites. We were talking about how people are getting richer and richer. It used to be a big deal to be a millionaire, and now it's a billionaire. And now billionaires are becoming, so many billionaires now that the trillionaire will be where we'll go next. But the first black millionaire, a lot of people thought it was Madam C.J. Walker. Now, she was the first black woman who was an entrepreneur and millionaire, but the first black period was a man named William Alexander Lieberdorf. He was born in 1810, died in 1848. He was the first black millionaire. He became a naturalized U.S. citizen in Louisiana in 1834, where he became a ship captain. According to historical accounts, he landed in California in 1841, dying 7 years later with an over six-figure estate in which he lived, because, you know, back then, how about this? Grandma Jo had facts on her birthday card. 1933, you could buy a house for $5,000. So think about it. A six-figure estate. And he died in 1848. He was balling out of control. You know what that had to look like? Can you imagine the square footage on a house that size back then? Yeah, that's huge. So, yeah, that was the first time that I heard of him. Had no idea.
And you know what? The houses that were around where I was coming up at in Benton Harbor, most of those houses, when I was a kid and when all my cousins were kids and they were buying those houses took off like $12,000.
I grew up in a $16,000 house. And back then, I told you, what did I tell you? My cousin said, are y'all rich? What do you mean, rich? They were like, you got a room with just toys in it, but nobody's sleeping in it. It's not a bedroom. It's a, what do y'all call it? I said, the playroom. Yeah, y'all have a playroom. We also had a library. Look, I didn't know the people didn't have more than one bathroom in the house. We had three. I didn't know that was a big deal. I didn't even know what people were gauging. You know what I mean? Like what makes one, you know, in such a status. You don't know because you don't care. You just, your house is where you live. It's your home.
Right.
Just because there's a lot of kids in the house don't mean that we can't have room for just our toys. My mother thought it was important. I'm sure my parents could have done something else with that space, but decided to dedicate it to us and toys. Yay, winning.
Right.
I mean, I don't know. You know, to me, that's wealth. I don't know what other kids think is wealth.
Well,
my wealth
when you think about it, when I was growing up, Gina, I've never lived in a house where I was considered to be living in the ghetto.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying? Right, but because we've always had especially when she got with her husband, we lived middle class. You understand what I'm saying? It was a two-family home. It was a two-partner home, you know, two kids, you know. We always had food. My sister had her room. I had my room. They had their room.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it was like that was normal. But I do understand that some other people didn't have that. They shared rooms. But for some of them, we might
have
looked like we had money.
Yeah, my parents would have never piled one of my brothers in a room on me. You know what I'm saying? I'm the only girl. Of course
right.
I have my own room.
They might have shared a room, but you would have had your own room. And
they
see the thing is here.
But
the thing is here, my daughter and my son both shared a room. They had bunk beds because I can only get a two-bedroom apartment.
Okay, my daughter's kids have always, no matter how many bedrooms were in the apartment, they've never lived in a single-family home until now. But when they were living in apartments when they were babies and toddlers, they all slept in the same bed. It didn't matter how many beds there were, so it didn't matter. They literally have to touch in their sleep. But sometimes it's just a bond that siblings have rather than the space that the parents can afford. So, yeah. Whatever, and I look at it like this, whatever makes you happy, that is the wealth in your life. And it does have nothing to do with money, everything to do with how you feel.
Thank you for something.
But I like that, Mama Donna. Growing up in a two-parent household, having your own bedroom, like I said, you don't think of it in any way. You just know that's how it was.
That's how it was. And a lot of people don't understand that. Your experience growing up and my experience growing up might be different. And then, you know, it doesn't mean that I was in a better position. Because, sure, maybe I don't know their money struggles. If they had a money struggle, all I know is I was growing up. I came home. I could go to my bedroom. My sister could go to her bedroom. You know, we can watch TV because we only had one TV at the time. You understand? It was in the living room. At that time, they didn't have TVs in their bedrooms. You know, you had one TV in the living room. Then you had to be in bed by a certain time, you know. And reading was my forte, so I really wasn't into going outside all the time and stuff like that. So it's your childhood is your childhood, And I think that's part of the problems with people. We're always comparing our childhoods to another one. Sometimes I find the poorest people had the richest life growing up.
You can say that again.
You understand what I'm saying? Because they knew they might not have had much, but they had each other.
Mm-hmm. A lot of times, just by having these them basic things, it took the confusion away from what you should have been, like, really caring about. Right? People care about stuff because it's in excess and not because of things that are essential to their living.
Jared, when I was on the state, life was so much simpler. I knew how much money I was getting. I knew what I had to pay, and I knew I couldn't go beyond that because this is all I'm getting. When you get a job, all of a sudden, well, I can hold off, and I'll pay Peter this.
I know. And Paul would be there for you to go ahead and hit his pockets. I tell y'all what.
Yeah.
I got set up. Wait a minute, where Mama Donna go? Oh, wait a minute. All right. Mama Donna has. I hope she get back in within the next. Wait a minute.
You gotta
minute.
Hurry up.
What
you got 8 minutes.
Minute.
Right. If she don't get back in 8 minutes, right. It's just a. Mama.
Who is this?
Mama Donna.
What you doing over there, Mama Donna?
He's
I don't know. The phone, the phone just went dead, and I'm like, wait a minute. I'm just talking, making my point, and I guess
that
somebody didn't want to hear, so it just hung up.
Back when C-34 Music was on, when Dexter was, we were giving his, it was time for the feedback from his piece, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got to call back in.
I was all in my car, honey, and it just said, bloop. They said,
and it wasn't my battery. I'm on 82%. I'm winning.
Well, I'm at 100%, so I ain't worried about that. But, no, I'm sitting up there. I was just right there. Said, bloop. I said, I guess they didn't want to hear that thought, so I just leave it alone. Now I don't even remember what I was talking about. Oh, Lord.
I said, I got a 30-second rule.
The point that she made that was the greatest point of the whole conversation is sometimes the poorest people had the richest lives, and that's real.
It is.
I don't think that my mom and her siblings growing up in the projects in Chicago knew that they lived in public housing, you know what I mean? Or that that wasn't desirable, or you know what I mean? That they were part of the, I guess, working poor.
That
would be
back then,
how you would describe
that. They had community. Living in the project, you had community. You knew everybody.
Yeah.
The parents knew all the kids. And you could not act out and misbehave around any parent because you know what?
No.
They would spank your behind, and then you go, they'd go and tell your mama, and your mama would spank your behind. And everybody was training up each person's child. That is lost.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody does it anymore. Nobody does it anymore.
Everybody afraid to
no.
do it. You got to fight the
yes.
whole damn block for telling him to do something
yes.
that's right. Hey, boy, stop beating up that old man with that stick. Oh,
don't
I'm going
to
tell my mom.
To my son like that.
Right.
I mean,
you tell my
you
son not to beat up my old man with a stick?
Wrong.
Yes.
By the time you got to the door, you prayed that your mother didn't hear from it from somebody else because you knew you was getting it.
Don't get scared to laugh.
You know what I used
okay.
to do? It never worked, but I would always pull it. I used to start to negotiate. Okay, Mom, so Ms. Brown will probably tell you.
I ain't say nothing. I prayed. I just prayed it never got
to No. I plead my case.
The bidding began at what, Gina?
Yeah. So she always said, yeah, so she going to probably tell you that I was acting ugly when I was playing with the girls, but it was actually them. They were picking on me. So because I was known for
right.
this, I would like have my Barbies and storm off. And I might
I'd still
even
be taking my belt off as I'm talking to you, Gina.
Look at
this.
Before
yeah.
I might have cussed everybody out, too. Yeah.
I might have cussed everybody out, too.
I might have cussed everybody out, too. But she was, you know, the thing about it was, I don't even know she was home, but she heard me.
She was in her bathroom and the window was open and I had called them.
Oh, so you were double lying because she caught you in the lie.
Yeah, I called
you called a double lie.
See, I came from a long line of cousins. So I did not, not just laugh when I heard people cuss.
It was in your blood.
I would learn how to use the phrases accordingly. And so I would string it up together, you know, like, you MF, and, oh, I would just go hard and then storm off. And so,
And she didn't respect that you were cussing at a sea captain's level.
Because, look, it wasn't, there was no caller ID. When I walked in the house and I heard the phone ring, that last ring, and my mama picking up, oh, she did she? I just sat on the porch and waited to look, because I knew she was going to call my name. I waited for her to call me because I'm like, yeah, you already tell her.
Mom, you remember the reason why I walked and went straight into my bedroom? It was because I was upset. I was upset about the events that happened today.
Oh,
really?
Have you ever seen a child that get hysterical and they could whatever, like, I was real good at this. I don't know how it happened, but every now and then when I knew I was gonna catch it, I would get so hysterical, like my whole face would turn red, my nose would bleed. I would be like, please bleed, because that would give me, I could buy some time. You can't beat me while my nose.
You know, you kind of remind me of my sister, Gina. My sister knew she, when she was getting a whooping, she went through theatrics. She ran over the bed, up under the bed, screaming and holler, tugging the wall with the belt. Now me, when it came time to get a whooping, I'm just getting my whooping. Just getting my whooping and get it over with, because you know what? The longer you prolong it, the worse it's going to get. I learned that at a very
young
age.
You were a quitter, Mom.
Not my sister.
Yeah.
Huh?
I didn't.
Hey, hold on
a
minute. Hey, if y'all are on the other end listening to this, y'all had 90 seconds to call in here. Blog Talk Lady ain't showing no mercy today. Y'all have probably about 80 seconds to get up in here if y'all online. If a person wants to raise their hand so they can go ahead and spit, right now might be the time.
I was not having those tug of wars, because my mother would crack up laughing at my sister, leave the room, and then come back in there and beat the crap out of her. See, that wasn't worth it to me. Let me get my whooping and get it over with. You know, I can go cry, lick my
wings. No, it's like getting a shot.
Okay?
They go down easy if you go ahead and run from it first, Mama Donna.
No. I've seen my mother do it. My mother would run, and my sister and her, and they're in a tug of war. My mother was finding it so funny, crack up, and turn around, walk out, then come right back there and beat her, because she didn't do nothing. She just delayed the process. It didn't stop it. Now she done laugh, and now she real pissed off because she done left the room and laughed, and now she really going to beat you behind. Nope, that's all right.
Yeah, enough with the theatrics. Cut the shit already.
Right.
I learned real early, if my mama mad and laughing, she might kill me on accident. That's a bad sign. Teeth will stick up the cracker and she
about
to go nuts.
Long, because it's 11 o'clock now, but you know what? I appreciate how I was raised.
Me too.
I really appreciate this. So the bottom line is this here. I remember seeing this young girl cursing her mother out. I stood there stupefied. How are you talking to your mother like that?
Right.
How are you talking to your mother like that? I could not even imagine talking to my mother the way this girl talked to her mother. Then her mother died when she was a young girl. You know? And I often wondered, did she regret how she spoke to her mother? But then again, that was not all her fault. That was her mother's too, because she allowed it to happen.
That's right. That's right.
Well, she wanted to have a really good friend.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and this friend would be the best friend ever, because he can console her. Say it again.
I'm quite sure you remember as a kid when you saw a kid acting out and the mother and father ain't doing nothing, and you standing there like, okay.
God.
And then you look at your mother and your mother look at you, you better not even look like you want to be stupid.
No, I would go ahead and tell him, like, look at him being stupid over there.
Honey, I would look at I would see some child acting up. I looked up at my mother. She had this look on her face that said, don't think about it. Don't even think about it. Don't even think about it. I wasn't thinking about it because I knew my mother. I knew that child mother wasn't doing nothing. That doesn't mean that's not what my mother was going to do.
It wasn't going to be the same outcome.
It was not.
She was going to call the police and say, this one right here broke. Y'all better go get it. My mother had to get rid of it.
You ever have one of them parents that you act out in the street, you're going to get your behind whooped out there in the street? Okay.
Yeah, those are the hardcore staunch parents. Those are the ones who really was like, hey, you know, if you're going to go there, I'm going to go there with you. You can't shame me out of it. And that's the arms race.
Ain't no waiting until we get home.
A kid shouldn't. No, ain't no way.
Ain't no waiting until we get home, honey. Ain't no waiting until we get
home.
But
that lets the kid know, like, hey, I can't do this nowhere, or they're going to go ahead and take my head off.
Right.
So let me go ahead and make sure I want to do this. I tell y'all what, I'm about to go ahead and get ready to shut it down. This has been cool. This has been really cool.
I'm glad I came.
Thank y'all.
Be glad you came, too.
I didn't expect to be a part of the show. I thought I'd just come up here, do my little piece, and get off the stage. But this has been enjoyable.
Yeah, old Gina Storm.
Gina and Jess Joy's show, or Jess Jay and Gina's show. Whichever way it go, it was a great opportunity.
Oh, that's it, Jess and Gina's show? I honestly felt bad because I couldn't participate wholeheartedly in the kitchen, so this made up for it for me.
Yeah, you on the move.
It was a lot going on. It was a lot more people than things. They were expecting 20, and it was like 35. But you have to understand, a woman that age is loved, and a lot of people who know and love her for years are still in the area. So, of course, they wanted to come by. Some people just came by and dropped off presents and cards. Oh, honey. they didn't stay for cake, ice cream, or a plate. So they got buku food left over. My mom was like, you brought all this food home? Did nobody take plates? I said, yeah, a lot of people did. But it was mostly, like, just relatives, not friends. And a lot of the friends didn't even eat.
She's 90 years old and partying like hell.
Oh, and you know what she said? So nobody asked me if I wanted a glass of wine. I was like, oh, well, let me see what's going on with the wine.
Right.
Barb was like, well, with her man, she really can't have any. So what I'm going to do is, so we were drinking peach Moscato. Gave her a glass of peach juice with some Sprite in it. And she said, this is delicious. I said, how do you feel? She said, I feel like I need to lie down. You know, I was thinking, yeah, because you're 90, not because you're drunk.
Right.
But she had fun. She had a non-alcoholic good time.
I had a client at her age. They were here for sparkling wine, sparkling, you know, juice. So she made sure she was drinking her wine. That's all.
Yeah. She loved the idea of it. She just the thought that it was enough for her.
If they were a drinker, if they were a beer drinker, O'Doul's, non-alcoholic beer.
Oh, yeah. What? And it tastes just like real beer. I've had it. Oh, yeah.
Close enough.
But yes, get a ball. Yeah, she had a ball. That's all that mattered. You know, the people that love her and could make it showed up. And she sat up for most of the day in the living room in the chair and not, you know, in her room in her bed. So that was awesome.
Oh, wow.
Oh, yeah. She was
that sounds awesome.
She went to bed. And listen, she even stayed up for a little while because, you know how everybody's got a show that they like. Well, she and Carol Burnett shared the same birthday, so she turned 90.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, Carol Burnett is 90? Really? I'm thinking she was old when I was watching her show on TV. I didn't realize.
She was ever. She kind of aged like, she put me in the mind of Jamie Lee Curtis as the way they built and stuff like that.
Honestly.
Yeah.
Yep, even the shape of her face. But I always thought she was funny and nice. And people who work with her never say anything bad about her. And I've heard lots of horror stories about other celebrities. So, yeah, that's good to know that she is genuinely who she's not pretending to be.
But the person that we believe her persona is in fact her personality, and that's beautiful. So yeah,
it really is, especially during nowadays and times.
Oh yeah, but I was just happy, like I said, to learn that fact about her great uncle, and know that, and because you know, Juliana is going to be a doctor, so my oldest granddaughter says in her speech to Grandma Jo, she says, family's not about love. DNA, it is about love and friendship and respect. And I was like, wow, that's dope. She's 10.
Sweet. Sound like a smart 10, too.
Yeah, and she loves family the same way that I do. So it was awesome. Mom done said she got to go. And I know you do,
I do too.
And matter of fact, it's late for all of us. Let's get some rest, family. Really had a good time.
That sounds good to me.
So happy that we had this this show tonight. So looking forward to our living room tomorrow at the Small House of Poetry.
Oh yeah.
Love my poetry family, you guys. So we'll reconvene in 2 weeks. And until then, see y'all tomorrow evening.
All right. That sounds like about as good a sign off as we gonna need to have.
Yeah, we're going to come up with one. We got to work on that. But we are definitely... I'm feeling this. Oh, yeah, you know she's going to have to fool. All right then, Jay, because I know your phone is probably on CPR. Mama Donna, love you. See you in the living room.
All right.
Hey, love you, guys. See y'all tomorrow.
All right. Good night, Jay.
Love y'all, too.
Hey, 502, we appreciate you rolling out with us, too. Love y'all. Bye-bye.
Yes.
Bye.